tell me why would we store or hide all of the goodness that the Lord provides? Taste the fruit that stems from His grace and truth that's ever divine. Man looks but never combines. The truth could be told. We reflect the fruit because He rose. Start with life, plus pay for my sins in the darkest night. No good comes apart from Christ. Now don't wait to conform. Be different and deviate from the norms. It seems tough when deeds could mean nothing. At best you'll find kind acts that connect to the vine. Open the seed and hopefully soon you will see that we stay planted at the root of the tree. See, it seems karma believing that it's an honor to master wood, handcrafted for good. Bear fruit.
You show us your goodness. We're sharing your goodness. Now we know.
To the head to begin, through His body and blood that was shed for sin, crucified, and we should respect all that He did for the good of the elect. Gotta believe, dig deep out of our knees, He do what lives as we do what's pleasing to Him. Open the eyes of the hearts of man to see God. We expect nothing but offer a free ride. Give it a go, and at least we'll try. Patience, conduct, and reflect His reputation. Taste the sweet, give us grace and defeat. It's goodness through tribulation and peace. Pride and a fool abides by the block rules. Good that plots gain is just not the same. Lies are found, but truth is not lost. We stress the good that is rooted in the cross.
You've shown us your goodness. We're sharing your goodness. Now we know.
The sun after the fall, the best act of all, you would suppose. Do good because He rose, time will tell. He's alive and doing well. Good thing we put the truth in the air. It's right for the life that has fruit to bear. Take heed and don't miss it, please, just listen. It was good, there's a need for our redemption. Grace from the power above, we do kind acts that are showered in love. Bear fruit, all or nothing, it's a way to trust the goodness of the Lord that is displayed through us. Tools in the master's hand. It's not hard to understand if we're part of His plan. Cause of the rock's fall, we got up from the fall. Do you good, get the credit for everything good.
You shown us your goodness. We're sharing your goodness. Now we know.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to another blessed, exciting day. This is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God Jehovah, the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for another opportunity. Amen. To give an honor to Pastor O, my producer. Amen. Hallelujah. And Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. And if those I don't remember, because I'm running, God is growing His kingdom. Amen. The saints are praying and the work is being done as we approach these last days. Amen. You know, today is just going to be a quickie. Well, not quick. Amen. But different. This is Thanksgiving week. Amen. And you know, we have a lot to be grateful for. Really do. I mean, if you can hear this, you ought to be grateful. If you can see this, you ought to be grateful, because there are people that can't do either, and there are those that don't even care. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, that God blessed us. And that's what Thanksgiving is about. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we will thank you and we praise you and we bless you for this opportunity to come before you, because it came with a tremendous cost. It cost the blood and the life and sacrifice of your first son, Jesus. And through that sacrifice, you have brought many of us into your kingdom. Amen. We, hallelujah, we couldn't get up to you, so you came down to us. And we thank you for that, Lord. You give us all that we need. You are our life, and you are our love. And Father God, right now, we ask that you give us the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you further bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the reason. Amen. What is the great and exceeding power you've made available to those who submit and obey you, because it is tremendous. Father God, we ask that you bless us, amen, with the knowledge of your will for each of our lives specifically, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out, so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us, Lord, to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, right now I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin in Psalm 107, amen, verse 1 and 2.1. You know, as I said, this is Thanksgiving week, and I just felt that it should be about Thanksgiving because, you know, I mean, that's you know, it's sad. When a person rejects God, they're showing him ungratefulness for the fact that he gave them life. And I understand how some people feel, because they're born into situations that are not something that they would have given themselves. You know, some are born into, you know, it's weird that some of us are born into a struggle and some born into ease. Right? Nobody gets to choose. But the whole of life, again, reflects on the fact that God expects us to be accountable to him and to be grateful, because this is the easiest part. I mean, this ain't the easiest part. This is just the beginning. It's even though it seemed like a long time to us, it can't even be measured in smallness. It really can't. If you live to be 150 years old, in the scheme of reality, talking about eternity, just really how small is that? I mean, read this, Psalm 107, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Hallelujah. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. That's in verse 2. "Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know, and I run across people that's like, you know, that ain't my problem. I didn't ask to come here. Yes, it is your problem. You here. Okay? It's about recognizing the reality of why you're here and the type of person that you really are. What you see in the mirror is such a small portion of who and what you really are. How your brain functions right now, your intellectual capabilities, is not the totality of you. You may think it is. I don't care if your IQ, if they say, is 250. It's not the totality. It really isn't. You know, if you take a glance and sit down and ponder, there are two men in Luke. Actually, there are three men, but there's actually more than that. But they only speak of the three that are participating. That's in Luke 16:19 through 32. That's a real event. You know, I found in one of the earlier Bibles that was written, one of the incomplete Bibles, and it had his name. It's spelled Ninue, N-I-N-U-E. I've always been taught it was Diabetes. It doesn't matter that they have a name. And so you have to understand about the Jews is they keep very, as much as possible, they keep some very tight records on their family history and their lineage. For instance, right now, one of the things toward the end days is that there's going to be the rebuilding of the temple. Now, it's, even though they are under the law, there's specific things that, that must be. For instance, the only one they're going to probably, I think, going to rebuild the ark rather than try to find. Now, there's rumors that they know where the original ark is, and it may be, may not be, but I know they're going to have one, and it's going to probably have the same anointing on it once they do it. And there are specific groups. The only people that can handle that was the Levites. Now, right now, they are training. You can look this up on the internet. They are training Levites to do, to carry out that task. They recently had a ceremony with some of the priests. I can't remember specifically what it was about, but anyway, they reinitiated a ceremony that they that's written in the Bible. But it, again, it has to be carried out by a specific group of people. Like the Levites, you have those were descended sons of Levi, and you, they were the only ones. If you touch the ark, you would die. I mean, there was a gentleman, I can't remember his name, but anyway, there was, they had, the ark had gotten captured, and it, the Philistines loaded it up and sent it back to the, to Israel. And when it got back, it was approaching the town, and it was sitting on it. It should not have been, but, you know, they didn't call me, like, you know, say, come get your ark. But this man, it was about to fall off the cart, and this man reached out to try to stabilize it. You know, I mean, he was a good person. He had good intention, but as soon as he touched, he dropped dead. See, so, you know, so that tells you that what you saw in the movie Indiana Jones wasn't true, because if them Germans had touched the real ark, they would have dropped dead. Then they would have known they had the real ark, you know. But, so, the point here is that we have been, as it said here, we were redeemed of the Lord. So, we specifically, as God's children, have had that same ability, and but God gave this to us. I know it's hard to rectify that, you know, because of all the challenges that come with life. But the fact of the matter is that you need to be grateful for it. you know, you have to bring your mind around to it, and we tend to get it out of balance. But anyway, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever," which that right there tells me that mercies endures forever. It, you know, they didn't say until the end of time, and I believe that was for a reason. And you know, I hold as a training day teacher that we will never be 100% perfect all the time, even after the transition that's coming, when we go from using 10% of our mind to 100% of our mind, okay? The fact, like I say, that's what I was talking about with Ninue and them. They were holding a conversation between him, between Ninue and Abraham, and there's a 500-year gap. So when you die, that's what happens to you. You become 100%, which is why they have, based on some visitations of some people, a man of God that I know of that went over there, and he was amazed that they had school. One of the teachers, and for those of y'all that like to skip church and skip Sunday school and the Bible class, well, y'all gonna have to start from square one. See, some of us gonna go to the collegiate level, but y'all gonna have to start in kindergarten in heaven, sitting there with all the kids, like that movie. But the thing is that if you look around the world, if you talk to people, you will find that people are not grateful for being here because of the situation. And I realize, I get it. It's almost, life is almost an oxymoron. It's like we serve, and this is what disturbs particularly the atheists. They even when I explain to them why life is the way it is, they want it, even though they can't change it, they don't want to accept it. As though their rebellion is going to benefit them. They're just going to go to hell. I mean, life is hard enough. Think about Job. I think about Job. Job, you got to read the book of Job. You got to read it more than once. You got to get Job operated at the prophetic level. He operated at a very close level to God, very close. That's why he was so successful. And to be stripped of all that without cause, you know, and then to strive to hold on, you know, that was pain. If you've been through pain, you can imagine he spent a lot of time in pain for no cause. But now, after all that was over, God gave him double for his trouble while he was on earth, and for the last 2,500 years or longer, I don't know if it's in 25, 45, he's been virtually problem-free because he hasn't been here where he is. There's no threat of war. There's no drama. There's no racism, hatred, sickness, disease. He gets to visit God Almighty face-to-face with no mystery. I mean, any question he can get answered, I mean, it's a whole different environment. We're striving to get there, which is why God put Job in the Bible. But again, in my mind, the fact that what he is giving us is so awesome and tremendous that he wants us to understand we need to hold this in high regard. You know, I was, even though on a day like today, you know, I fast, try to fast Facebook, you know. And, that's more of a fast than the food. The food you can get by, Facebook. I don't know. I just like to communicate with people. But anyway, somebody had said that if Satan talked a third of the angels out of heaven, where they was having no problems, no sickness, no disease, no trouble whatsoever. They never had a day like they never woke up with a toothache. They never had none of the problems, marital problems, money problems, none of the problems we had. He talked them out of good into bad. If he can do that, he's smart enough, slick enough to talk you into hell. And I see him do it all the time. I mean, there are millions of people right now that are just don't get it. You know, I had a conversation this weekend, with a young man. I have these signs in my car that pretty much gives a quick description of what's going on. These are the last days, you know, yada, yada, yada. And if you don't get the revelation and you get left behind, don't take the mark. Anyway, this Muslim gentleman from Pakistan took note of it, and he, you know, proceeded to share his understanding on that issue, and I already knew it, but I let him speak anyway because I wanted to hear what he had to say. And when he got through, I asked him, did he, because see, their version is that their Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, you know, is supposed to come, and he's going to bring Jesus with him like Jesus is second in command, okay? Anyway, so, and you know, that's a whole lot of things. You can study that if you're interested. But so when he got through, I asked him the question I always ask people. Did you specifically, directly, I told him Allah. And the reason I know people trip over the name Allah, but let me tell you something. When I was seeking deliverance, I called every name I heard. Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, Jesus, every name of God I could muster up because I didn't know him. I didn't know him, and he knew. But see, what God will look at is your heart and what you're seeking to do. And he proceeded to say the Quran, and then he stopped. He said, no, I didn't ask God directly. See, that's an honest man. And see, and that's why, see, now you're linking all this together. See, before I pick a person up, I pray what I prayed at the entry of this program. See, that God will open up their mind and they understand it. I can give you information, but only God can give you revelation. And he will only give you revelation if he thinks you're going to really utilize that information, because he's only going to give you a piece. He's going to give you a piece. That's how God do it. If you don't do A, he ain't going to give you B. He's not. He's economical. He ain't going to like, well, they'll get it. No, God don't work that way. See, and this is what happens. This is what this life is about. Once you take that step, see, and this is what happened to me, and it's just ironically, well, not ironically, but, you know, 47 years ago, it was November 16th, 1976, and it's amazing that I can remember that date, because I'm not a person that really tries to remember dates, but that was so significant. And, you know, I had one of them big, you know, they made them big calendars that had the big giant numbers in on there, and it just, I was just stunned because I had my perception of God. Now, understand, this is why I'm so grateful. At that time, you know, I was smoking this drug they sell now at the stove, the pot shops, you know. I knew somebody that knew how to make concentrated marijuana. And that stuff, you know, it destroys your organs. If I'd have kept on, I'd have died. Ain't no question about it. You know, God saved me from myself. But once they get into your bloodstream, people don't realize once they try to stop, that's when the trouble, when you smoking concentrates, that's when the trouble will hit. Your body will react. It will scream so loud that it will cause pain. That's what happens when you're doing that every day. You know, I only miss one day. For some reason, I miss one day a week. I would take a day off, drink water. Some of the things probably help. But on that night, God, I mean, this brother invited me to a prayer meeting. I had never been to one. And when I got there, he wasn't there, okay? And I started to leave, and I felt compelled to be there. And it was one other young man and these two round ladies. And they just started out. They started singing a song. I didn't know the words to the song, so I'm mumbling and stuff. And they talked about God don't give you the Holy Ghost. Now, in my mind, it's like, this going to settle something because it's got to come from God, okay? And if God don't give it to me, God don't exist, and I was going to go through a higher level of criminal activity. I really was, I'm going to be honest, because I saw, you know, what draws you to that is the money, okay? And, you know, and you think you smart. At that time, I had no clue how smart Satan was. But anyway, she started out, we just going to praise God and think about something good God did. Now, the only good I could think of was some stuff I got away with and didn't get busted, which would have landed me in prison. But that's all I knew, okay? So I started praising God. And, man, I don't know. It's. I'm gonna tell you about prayer. This is why I don't miss the opening part of church when they are praising God. See, that's when you are telling God. But at that point, when you praising God, matter of fact, let's read some Bible. Well, let me finish sharing this. I started praising God, and He did what he said he was going to do. He filled me with the revelation knowledge of him to the point that I could not deny his existence. It was so powerful, so, so powerful that it knocked all them desires I had in me out. Just knocked him out. I used to be confused as to why he did that for me and didn't do that for everybody. And it didn't. I learned later on, God does what he do for who he do, when he do, how he do. And you just have to be grateful when he do it for you, you know. And that's the challenge of life, okay. But I'm trying to keep on track here because I want you to just understand there's a reason to be grateful. And that this holiday, yes, it is a man-made holiday. People are tripping over that. Listen, the Bible says, as a matter of fact, let's just read it so you can read it. Just go to Romans chapter 13. You know, so you should familiarize yourself with that chapter. Yeah, It says that, and anyway, in this particular chapter, they talk about the executive branch of the government, but I'm not getting into that. In verse 7, Romans 13, 7, it says, render therefore all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. You know, the Bible is very specific on the issue of honor, and that, like in Leviticus 19, it says, you shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep his Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Okay, and matter of fact, it goes on to say that's how you extend your life. Okay, and that's why a lot of people are dead, mainly because there's only one authority above you, above your parents, and that's God. There's your parents and there's God. But anyway, so bottom line, using that scripture, what that allows us anything to we can create a day to celebrate, to honor God, as long as it's in line with his word. Now, he's given us all the details in his word as to what he will accept and will not accept. We can't make no golden calves, no idols, and all these things. That's a violation of the first commandment. See, those that we're not, see, so people tell people, you know, if you say turkey day to me and I'm like, what a turkey do for you? You know, you talk turkey. Or are you a turkey? What turkey do for you? You know, that's man, that's a person that is striving to be they think they are self-sufficient. And then I remind them, or you'll be remembering that when you're choking on them last breath. I just had a young man. Yeah, I do. I do Uber, so I meet people. I do Uber specifically to be in the midst of people. Amen. I was lamenting earlier today that I didn't win my 12 souls this year. But anyway, hey, it's about the kingdom of God. But he had been, apparently, he didn't get into details, but he had been to that last breath moment. And I could pretty much tell by his nature, but he was open to receive the gospel. That's the beauty of it. The why. He wanted to know why God let him live. And I put him on the path. Praise God. God put it, helped use me to put him on a path so he can find out how to get in touch with God. And I'm going to tell you about being thankful to God, it will bring more blessings. And being ungrateful will bring the opposite. Man, we might touch a little bit on that. But, okay, so we didn't read that. But now let me, this here, I'm going to read you a little history on when Thanksgiving, you know, in school they teach you about the fact that it was one of the first celebrations between the pilgrims that first came to America, amen, but it did not become a holiday for a couple of hundred years. Now, and the person that initiated made it a holiday celebration of every fourth Thursday was Abraham Lincoln. So I pulled this off the internet and I thought it'd be interesting, particularly for young people that think that it's just a holiday, because it's a little more than that. It really is. It's the beginning of a season, okay? But it says, on this day in 1863, expressing gratitude for a pivotal army victory at Gettysburg, President Abraham Lincoln announces to the nation that we will celebrate an official Thanksgiving holiday on November 26, 1863. Now, see, this is the thing with the government right now. See, people think that money is the end of all things. You know, I think, even though Solomon said money answers all things, ask somebody to die from cancer if it does. That's a lot of things money just didn't fix. Excuse me, there's a lot of dead people thought money was the answer. He said this speech was actually written by Secretary of State William Seward, declared that the fourth Thursday of every November thereafter would be considered an official U.S. holiday. That right there. Canada does not celebrate on the same week that we do. Anyway, and other countries don't either. This announcement harkened back to when George Washington was in his first term as the president in 1789, and the young American nation had only a few years earlier emerged from the American Revolution. Okay, at that time, George Washington called for an official celebratory day of the public thanksgiving and prayer, something you haven't seen a president do since I've been alive, you know, which explains why we have $33 trillion in debt. That's what that comes from, being ungrateful. While Congress overwhelmingly agreed to Washington's suggestion, the holiday did not yet become an annual event. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, felt the public demonstration of piety to a higher power, like that celebrated at Thanksgiving, were inappropriate in the nation, based in part on the separation of church and state. Subsequent presidents agreed with him. In fact, no official Thanksgiving proclamation was issued by any president between 1815 and the day Lincoln took the opportunity to thank the Union Army and God for the shift in the country's fortune in 1863. The fourth Thursday of November remained the annual Thanksgiving until 1863, until 1939. Then at the tail end of the Depression, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, hoping to boost the economy by providing shoppers and merchants a few extra days to conduct business between Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, moved Thanksgiving to November 3rd, Thursday. In 1941, however, Roosevelt bowed to Congress, insisting that the fourth Thursday of November be reset permanently without alteration as the official Thanksgiving holiday. President Roosevelt stuck with the second-to-last Thursday schedule. Some states stuck with the last Thursday of the month schedule. And finally, on December 26, 1941, the law making Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday of November. Now, you say, what that has everything to do with it. Listen, one. The Bible, I mean, read the First Amendment. It says nothing about separation of church and state. You can't separate. The church is a people, okay? The only thing that they really are saying, we don't want y'all to tell us to do right what we want to do wrong based on what the Bible say. But let me tell you right now, this country today is facing turmoil because of that mindset. Okay, and that mindset is the result of being ungrateful to God. I mean, that's the whole point. God, he gave us life. He gave us, it's his game. It's his way or no way. Okay, that's what this is about. And when you don't do it his way, you're being ungrateful. So I don't know about you, but to me, Thanksgiving is important to me. I don't wait for Thanksgiving to give Thanksgiving. It's the annual reminder that we should. That's all that is. That's like all the other days. All the days that God initiated, they came annually to initiate, to remind you that you have limited. You have what you have because God gave you what you have. Amen. And then what's the problem? You know, he gave you something that you can't get nothing. Can't get nowhere else. You can't. Where else you gonna get it, huh? Man is working overtime trying to figure out how to extend life. That's a good thing, you know, to make life. I'm sure because people. I was just listening to earlier about a person. He died. One of these philosophers or something. He died at the young age of 35. Matter of fact, no, it was one of these musicians. Anyway, Beethoven or somebody like that, but they died at the age of 35. I'm 72 going on 73, you know. And I'm without question, I'm this age. You know, the part of life, when you're actively serving God, he rewards you with blessings. Even though it's, you know, it's a process to, gives them to you, and if you wanted to withdraw some of them out of heaven, out of the heavenly realm, there's a process to that. Maybe one day I'll get to share that. In fact, let's go to, that's a segue into Matthew chapter 5, and they call it the Beatitude. I call it the best attitudes, okay? Now, and it reads here, this is Jesus talking because it's in red. It's the hot sauce. Go in hot, come out hot. Anyway, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, now, this here, well, let's read. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Been there a million times. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's coming up for some people. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It comes to the territory. It is spiritual warfare. You know, if you talk, I met a person, another person, yes. You know, I generally transport about 10, 15 people a day. Anyway, depending on how I feel. And this person, you know, I could detect he didn't want to discuss the issue. And so I left him alone, but he has no idea what is coming. You don't know how blessed you are to know that you don't. If you're looking for the rapture, come on. And then people are talking about the word rapture ain't in the Bible. Man, please, seriously. You know, it's so many. If we went by that, then, you know, I mean, come on. Now, cashless society ain't in the Bible. We know what that means. Market. Really, we know what that means. We know what that's about. We know that the event in Revelation chapter 11, when the two witnesses lie in the street 3 days, it didn't. It said every nation, every tongue, and every kindred shall see them. You know, and again, why do I believe it? I ask God about it. You know, some things just don't ring right away with me. Okay. I may have shared before. I remember when my pastor first came in and said, man, it's a God-class being. I was on my duty, but I heard that, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to chew on this a while. And he expects us. He teaches us to do that. See, that's where I get it from. He say, take it to God. Take it to prayer. Prayer, prayer, pray. Study it. Chew on it. Why? Because it's you. Your revelation going to be beneficial to you. Everything, you know, what I need to know in that aspect may not be what you need to know. That's why even when I'm saying it, you should sit down and talk with God. That's what meditation is about. All right? But seeing again, where does this all begin? That goes back to that November day when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'm going to tell you about the Holy Spirit. That's the guy that tells you to shut up when you want to say something. Yeah, I know. You ain't got two minds. That's his mind. He's telling you. He will always. And there, even still, back then, he would really give me scriptures up front. And now I have to be almost desperate and don't get it. And he'll break it down for me. But he will share. Listen. You got to understand the magnitude of who you have on the inside. It takes me some time to remember that the Holy Spirit is God. I'm not talking about small G God. He big G God. I'm small G. He big G in me by virtue of the blood of Jesus. Now, if the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you got to read. If you haven't watched Passion of the Christ, I know, quit being chicken. I can't stand to watch it either. I watch it every year. I hate it, but I watch it because it reminds me of what it costs to redeem me. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And believe me, if you meet somebody that isn't redeemed or meet somebody that gave up their redemption, man, if that don't make you grateful, because without God, without the saints of God, I thank God for all y'all to pray for me, because I know Satan want to take me out. I mean, you know, every week, just about, at least every month, I hear about somebody that's dying. Something today about another person that died, gone. You know, dying ain't the problem. Dying without Jesus is the problem.
See, so I got to do the both. I got to keep the keeping the faith, kept the faith. That's something that takes your prayer too, to say, he know he can't take me out by himself. You got to have an army. So I have to have an army. See, so that's why when somebody's name come up in your mind and you still start praying for them, you know, that's what I do. You know, and I see the police with the lights on, I command angels to go with them, protect them, if possible, to have a peaceful resolution. That's another thing. See, we don't have to. People live beneath their means. You know, I when I learned, if you got grandchildren, you hold until they reach adult reach the age of accountability that God designed. It is different for everybody, okay? I know everybody over 21 is on there, unless they have organic brain damage, and they thinking capacity is less than normal, then God will extend them, okay? But some people are brilliant at a young age. You know, some people get revelation at a young age, so that's when it begins for them. So, but anyway. But the point of the matter is that all this authority and ability, just by the blood of Jesus, true enough, God created us. You know, we were invited into a situation. I mean, like Adam, he got here. He wasn't expecting to come. He didn't get no notification. He didn't get no email saying you're going to earth, be a human being, and this is what's going to befall you, et cetera. You know, presto, we here. And I get that part. But you here. I argued that with God. One day I was going through some stuff. I'm like, I ain't asked to be here, you know. And he said, yeah, but you here. Deal with it. So then it's about get access to the revelation that you need to deal with it. Because it's there. Because in the process of obtaining it and in the process of securing the victory and whatever you challenge you facing will make you appreciate the fact. I mean, you here. You don't have no choice. You got a choice of heaven and hell. As Joshua say, choose you this day. That's what I would say. Choose it. Trust me. Choosing God. But see here, the first one in verse 3 in Matthew chapter 5, blessed the poor in spirit. Now that's a person. See, you ever talk to a person that has a high IQ? They're not poor in spirit. Poor in intellect. This is, in other words, they don't exalt themselves. Don't understand. This is poor in spirit. This is not just a. This is not a person, as I spoke of earlier, as a person with organic brain damage. Okay, because they fly in anyway. Okay, they are going to the kingdom of heaven, but this is a person that is submissive to God. Particularly a high intellectual person, a high influential person, but will back down and let God direct them. Now, if there's the kingdom, the authority of heaven, this is where you get to command angels while you are here, okay? And now, see, this is how when I pray and I command angels and camp around about my grandchildren and around my household and around my wife, that's that authority. But then that comes from my earnest effort in life is to do what God say do, how he say do, okay? Again, I have other means of doing to things that I would rather do than do over. I really would. I really would, but I can tell when God. But see, I also realize the need, because He got us after that. He'll lead the 99 to go after that one. And when I get that one, man, I'll be having a holy fit in the car after they get out, praising God, because I went after the one. Because you don't know who that one. Think about your pastor. Your pastor is the one that now is affecting many. Okay, you don't know. And God gonna bless you. You win somebody to Christ, all right? And they become a pastor, and they start winning souls all over the world. Do you know God will credit you along with them? You get a reward with them for all the souls they win. You might have only met that person once, and they went on to become used of God mightily, but you are going to, when you get to heaven, you will have rewards you wasn't even expecting. When you pray for somebody, and that's, listen, when you really come to understand how powerful prayer is, I have to keep track of time here, because I'm enjoying this. Anyway, part of a partner with the kingdom of God, with God, in every soul. When you pray for a ministry, that's something. When you pray for the souls, then you ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, okay? Amen. But they're going to win. This is a, you know, it's something. When you read the Bible and you know what the end of the story is, you know how it's going to turn out. Sad that a lot of people drown, but all that just for those that are hurting over the children that are dying, every one of them in heaven. They didn't grow up and become misguided. I'll put it like that. They went to heaven. They made it. They passed the one you got to help get into heaven too. Amen. And that's what it talks about. It says in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, we're going to come back and rule with Jesus for 1,000 years at 100% brain. I mean, you'll be able to do some things your mind probably have a struggle to accept. You know, I know I get people that are still leery about the fact of being able to teleport, being able to communicate without a cell phone. I mean, even scientists, I read, just happened to see a post where scientists at one of the World Economic Forum, if y'all don't know who they are, you need to check them out. That's the Antichrist system. But anyway, they believe in another 50 years, because that won't mean Jesus will be back for the end, that they won't need cell phones, that they will be able to implant the communication system into your body. I knew that. I know about a little bit about biogenetics. I read stuff. See, and this is also why I know we're in the last days. And think about it. You know, I mean, that's another point, to be counted worthy, to know where this thing is going. God could have shut us up, talked to somebody that don't know. See, this is the fun in talking to people. You talk to people that don't know, make you appreciate knowing. Makes you, I mean, really, it's like, wow, man, I could be in that darkness. I could be in that denseness, people's skin. Man, them people with that skin, they can't. God designed the skin. You know, I mean, I told somebody that a long time ago, you know, if you don't like the color of my skin, talk to the manufacturer. Man, just don't stand within swinging distance. And I don't know how far back that is. That's. You know, I saw my brother posted once, his brother overall, that if your God is black, you got the wrong God. I know they might have angered some people, but it don't get no truer than that. Say God is a spirit, okay? And in a little flesh, you can strip the flesh, we all look identical. Man, this is crazy. Again, being thankful, you know, I mean, really. Let's see. Okay, we got that. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22:50. And this is just showing you that historically, God is, the relationship with God has been consistent. And I'm going to start with verse. And this is my buddy, my man, David. You know, David helped me. You know, this is why you need to read the Bible, because, you know, it shows you everything. It's history with God. And it's important to know that God knows us, you know, because, you know, let some people, I've met people that were afraid. They're afraid of life and afraid of dying because they're not perfect. Guess what? If your name isn't Jehovah, if your name ain't Jesus, and if you ain't the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to be perfect all the time. You'll get better. I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better. Trust me. And that's because, as we read earlier, God's mercy endures forever. Well, I'm going to just read this anyway in verse 50. It says, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Among the heathen I will sing praises unto your name. You know, I ran into somebody once, and I chewed on my tongue because they told me they were a private Christian. They were, you know, they keep their religion to themselves. And I'm being quiet because, you know what, if you're that type of person, guess what? Jesus said, if you deny me before men, let me tell you, when the devil come a knocking, and he most assuredly will, you're going to be, you know what get people is, they'll be so far away from God. And see, you can't measure. You can't go by stuff, okay, what your house is, how much money you made, and that be a deciding factor, because drug dealers and murderers and hitmen got everything you got, okay? What do you have they don't have? See, that tells you right there. If you're not conversive with God, something wrong, because... Let's go to all right, yep. Well, anyway, this is the point of the matter. Yes, you know, again, I may have reflected, and I notice I still see. I'm going to Psalm 150. That's one of my favorite Psalms. This is one I show people that think that being quiet is all that. Anyway, hold on. Let me switch up here. Yeah, but, I mean, be real. I mean, we here. We don't have to be here. God didn't have to let us know who he is. He don't have to do anything. I mean, he could be what a lot of people allege he is. He could just be this mean, violent individual. And I realize there's a lot of stuff going on, and he said that as we get toward the end, it's going to be a great falling away. And I can see it happen. Some gonna fall because of pain. Some gonna fall because of prosperity. You know, I saw that with the children of Israel, when they became prosperous is when they got in trouble. Because you keep pressure on people. You keep bugging them. They know they need God. But you take away that pressure. I really expect that to happen. The great falling away. You watch. I can see how it's going to happen. But here, think about it. That's the praise is an expression of thanksgiving. It is an expression of faith. In Psalm 150, it said, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Pray, ooh, praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the flute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel, which is drums, and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm amazed when I hear people say something as goofy as, he don't take all that. I assume we don't have the same God because I don't know, maybe they think they was born good enough to go to heaven. I know I wasn't. Hallelujah. I know I'm going by his goodness, his grace, and his mercy, and not by works. I definitely not, you know, I don't understand that mindset. But, he's, you know, like I remember the first time, but as a matter of fact, that church I got delivered in, see, I had never been to that church when they was getting loud, okay? But, you know, I mean, really, even the churches that I knew, they did sing and praise God. You know, they just didn't have as many instruments as that church did. And that was, but, you know, once I read that that was all right with God, I was good with that. See, it's a lot of things, and it says praise him in the dance, and people make, you know, supposed Christians in ignorance, obviously, say that's too much. But see, let me tell you about something. Let me tell you one day, I asked God about some things. You know how you see people and they fall out in the church, you know, and a man of God laid hands on them. And, you know, I'm like, what is all that about? So I went to the source, you know, and I asked God about that. I had asked him, and one night, it was a Wednesday night. This is what I'm going to tell you. God do most strange stuff on Bible class night, because that's when the Marine Christians show up, than he do during the Sunday service when all the church folks show up. Anyway, so I'm standing there, and it was at the beginning of the service, you know, and they opened up and they praising God, because when you do that, you're telling God, we want you here. We want to hear from you. We, the pastor's just a vocal tool. You know, we want to draw it out through, we want to draw you through him to us. And anyway, so we standing there and I'm praising God, and next thing I know, man, it was best I could just like a joy bomb hit me. And when I opened my eyes, I was under a pew. I'm looking up at the bottom of a pew. I just dropped like a rock, you know. And it was incredible. But I remember the experience. And I see, if you're not telling me, tell you, I'm telling you, I'm teaching you. Why? Okay, matter of fact, let's go to Ephesians 5:18. And you'll see what happens when you're doing that, because nothing happens without a reason when it relates to God, and there is a reason behind this. All right, it says therefore. I'm reading 5:17 until I stop. 21. It says therefore, do not be unwise, which is another word for stupid. Anyway, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is in dissipation, out of control, but be filled with the capital S Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not to impress people, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God. Okay. It's not filling you with the feeling, but it just creates that chemical, that spiritual chain reaction. Okay. It's not filling you with a feeling, but it's creating a spiritual chain reaction. That's what causes people, because I've been there. Sometimes your feet move faster than you can make them move. You know the difference. You can't make them move that fast without the Holy Spirit. That's just incredible. I've seen people. I know I was watching this sister one day, and they were just up front, and she was bent back so far and didn't fall. I can only imagine that an angel was holding her up. I've experienced that. But when God does that, he's deposited something you will need for life, either then or later, in your life. He doesn't just do that, because you have to think the Spirit is the revelation, knowledge, the mind of God. See, that's what that's about. That's what that's about. Tell you, open up and receive God's Spirit. Through thanksgiving, that's what praise is, you know, and he'll show you some things. He'll teach you some things. He'll teach you some things that are just a part of your natural life. He'll teach you how to cook. You know, some folks really need some help on that area. You know, you know, especially young married couple and they growing, especially if they grew up and they had a mother that couldn't cook. But anyway, he'll teach you some things. He taught me things about cars and, I mean, I may pick up a musical instrument again, you know. But anyway, I just hope I give you a reason to help you understand that Thanksgiving, even though man made a day, just like you can make a song. You can write a song. You don't have to just read what's in the Bible. It just has to match the word. It may just be about your experience. This is what singing is about. This is what praises is about. That's what that song Pastor was playing at the beginning on the radio. And you can do that. As long as it matches the word of God. But anyway, so The first step you need to make is to receive Christ. That is thanking God for receiving life and acknowledging him in that aspect. And it's just the simplest part, and I tell you, it sets you on to a path of victory and glory. And you don't have a long journey now. We're on the short end of this thing. So just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I am grateful for my life. And I realize that I have not lived to the potential that you designed. But you sent your son to die for our sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin and have committed sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that I am saved, I am born again, and I am restored into the family of God. Man, you can't beat life like that. You can't beat that. I mean, right there, that entitles you to eternal life. That means all, you know, when we pray that God forgives all our sins, never to be remembered no more. You may remember it, people may remember it, but God doesn't remember. He chooses not to do that. He's not the enemy. He's not the problem. Amen. Well, anyway, give thanks to God. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. You know, if you eat too much, just ask God to forgive you. Amen. And know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Outline our affections. Take kindness from your acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. It gave us the ability to forgive those who sin against us, who lie and accuse, they frame and abuse, yet we get to choose to overlook the offense. And when we sin, we repent. Our hope exists from the seed of your kindness. We were blinded, dumbfounded, you led us to repentance. Our hearts wicked, conflicted, you fixed it, untwisted, unbent, double knots tied from sin. Your loving kindness stepped in and faith began. Turn hatred into compassion. Now we fashion the master's actions. And we have to go where he says go. Speak what he says speak. Following the footsteps that Jesus leads. As kindness leaks from the cross to the lost and the cost was paid. We give it all back to the one who saved by what we say and what we do to his creation. So with patience, we ask that you clean kindness to hearts hiding in ribcage. Let us spit lyrics that rave of his existence. Press kindness beyond the surface. So our work is more than just service to a community, but evidence of a divine unity of Father, Son, and Spirit at work behind the curtain of our lives. Let it soak in all our lives. Cause you give life to those who pursue it. Let us subdue it, taste it, and chew it. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit. Kindness.
It off, it's so cold, but most don't know. Fruits are the things that show forth the evidence of the spirit inside. You can see them like a photo. Click. So when I don't flow, you should see kindness. It shouldn't have to look hard to find this. Everybody knows what it is. Let me define this and take a look at the motives behind it. This character is another attribute of God's divineness. We share in it cause in his image he designed us. But we don't reflect that in the proper light cause we're broken. We put our votes in, humanity is pro-sin. So then God decides to show men kindness despite the fact we never chose him. Or should I say choose him? We chunking them deuces. Silly come pursues us with irresistible love, he woos us. The truth is, fruits are the proof that he moved in. If they not growing, then we living in illusion. For our iniquity, they bruised him, boosted him up on that tree. For you and me, the good news is his kindness leads us to repentance. God and man can be friends since Christ took the bid for our death sentence.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the vine, and in him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. Show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See, Jesus is the vine, and in him will your body change.
Dry branches, brittle, easily broke. They only good as firewood, throw them in the smoke. Once they detach from the vine, then they quit growing. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not getting soaked in the riches of his word. No time in his presence, I'ma give him my best. And not just a couple of seconds, so check it. You ever spent so much time with a person? You started talking like him, man, watch and learn. See, the company that you keep is certainly gonna determine how you walk, how you talk. That's why I be hurting when we don't spend time in that book, and our prayers are lifeless. Then wonder why we as his children don't look like him. So tell me, what good is fruit if others don't take a bite in? When they get a taste, do they see Christ in? If not, then don't go fake it till they do. Go back to the root, see Christ abide in the mirror.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See, Jesus is the vine, and in him will your body change. Let me help you find it. Show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes.